Chapter 2. Daryl and Marcia take the airport exit and go into full travel fraud mode. He drops her off at the upper-level departure check-in door to Southwest Airlines, one they both favor because it's located next to where passengers from arriving Delta flights exit. She waits for him to open the back door and steps out without making any eye contact with those nosy, tip-hungry, curbside baggage skycaps who she suspects have some kind of luggage scam going themselves. Marcia, in character, politely thanks Daryl as he painfully bends with his still-hard unit to retrieve her carry-on suitcase from the trunk. He puts it down on the curb and extends its handle with a click. At least the props have been tuned, she thinks, relieved. The wheels had better not squeak. She has been known to fine Daryl for such inexcusable grievances. Marcia has filled this eventually-to-be-abandoned suitcase with reject clothing from past hijacked suitcases, so it doesn't feel empty if some misguided gentleman attempts to help her during the check-in process she'll pretend to be part of. Daryl bids her a professional goodbye for the world to see, but manages to give Marcia a knowing leer before re-entering the car and pulling out. As if, she thinks, Marcia will never become one with anyone, especially not him. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Marcia's not checking in anywhere except other people's luggage. But for now, she has to be careful. Bide her time. No attracting attention until the Delta flight 1411 they've targeted lands at 8:15 a.m., which, according to the flight tracker app on her phone, will be 4 minutes early at gate D11. To blend in, Marcia takes a spot at the end of a long, snaking Southwest Airline check-in line, knowing she'll never get to the counter before the Delta passengers without luggage to claim will exit, file past her, and without realizing it, let her know that theft time is about to begin. Marcia likes Delta flights because that airline guarantees the luggage will be delivered to baggage claim in 20 minutes or you get 2,500 bonus sky miles. She has long realized she has to swipe coach bags because top-tier passengers get down there first, and their bags come out right away. But coach passengers, emptying overhead bins, bottlenecking behind stroller families and wheelchaired flyers, take forever to deplane and find their way downstairs. By that time, Marcia and their bags are both history. Today's plane is a red-eye from Las Vegas. Good. They'll be groggy. Marcia likes flights originating in warmer climates. The checked-in suitcases usually contain winter clothes their owners never wore the rest of the year. Many of the garments still have the dry cleaning tags attached. Clean, no stains, uncontaminated by sexual parts. She's also not one to waste valuable lying time. "Did you hear?" she suddenly says with false alarm to the harried family who has just appeared behind her in line. "It's snowing in Atlanta." "You're kidding," wails the dad. "I know," says Marcia. "I bet our flight gets canceled." "Oh, no," yell all the customers around her who have overheard. As they begin making panic phone calls to whoever was picking them up, Marcia chuckles to herself. Lying is like working out. You have to do it every day to stay in shape. It's almost a calling. By now, Daryl has pulled into the covered short-term parking lot where all the meet-and-greet drivers leave their vehicles. After 364 days of delayed ejaculation, he knows he's in danger of a retrograde orgasm where the sperm enters the bladder instead of emerging through the penis. He hasn't gone through all this for some dry orgasm. No thanks to his own load shooting back up inside him. Hasn't he fucked himself enough working for Marcia? If he gets to blast off only once a year, he wants his sperm count to go through the roof and hit the stars. And in the center of that galaxy is you-know-who. Today's the day. He feels like Cape Canaveral. Marcia can always tell when the first Baltimore passengers begin to exit the terminal for baggage claim. Their voices are so loud, with that appalling Baltimore accent. If she could manage to eradicate it from her speech, why couldn't they? "Go down the moving steps," she hears an older woman yell to her husband ahead of her, as if there were any other place to go. moving steps. Marcia hasn't heard that term in decades, but that's Baltimore for you. Nothing changes. Another arriving passenger has on an Ocean City, Maryland hoodie. God, can you imagine going there, she marvels to herself. But that cinched it. Here was the flight from Vegas to Baltimore. She waits until a larger group of travelers comes through from another arriving flight and joins them without anyone being the slightest bit wiser. Down the escalator she goes. Playing a coach passenger doesn't come easily. She is first class all the way, but every flight to Baltimore was business at best, no matter what they called it. So Marcia reluctantly accepts this humiliation. Besides, coach being crowded always works to their advantage. But there still could be trouble. Like that time they almost got caught in the Philadelphia airport when they had overstayed their criminal welcome and done 6 separate baggage thefts in a month. She had told Darryl that was enough, but no, he had said, they weren't heedy. One more couldn't hurt. Wanna bet? Another escalator had saved their lives that day. Marcia had just blended in with a gaggle of passengers on their way down to baggage claim, dressed way down in a tracksuit with running shoes, when she heard, "Hey, hey," from behind her. 2 security guards, who must have somehow recognized them from security tapes, were coming towards her. Stepping off the last step, she saw Darryl in the distance with the other chauffeurs and their signs, but it was too late to warn him. She immediately pretended her carry-on prop suitcase was stuck in the claws of the escalator and jammed it sideways, causing an immediate pile-up of descending passengers. Some shouted, others fell, a few lucky ones jumped right over her bag and landed still standing, while other more foolhardy ones, like the cops, leapt over the handrail halfway down and didn't meet such a happy fate. Darryl instantly realized it was time to split, and hightailed it out of there in the commotion, as did Marcia, ripping off her Chanel raincoat and salt-and-pepper wig and throwing both into an empty baggage cart that lazy airport workers had foolishly left for travelers to use free of charge. Snaking her way to the airport parking garage in a complicated roundabout route they had rehearsed twice, she knew they'd escape. He was already behind the wheel, motor running, holding a fresh red wig and plain-colored jacket that wouldn't clash with the tracksuit she was still wearing. The box of get-ups they always kept in the trunk of any vehicle they were using had come in handy more than once, and Darryl made sure it was always freshly stocked. Marcia jumped into the back seat, put on her new disguise, and held her head as high as any natural redhead would dare. They peeled out, bagless but uncaught. Time for a new location. Baltimore, here we come. Again. But today, all is going smoothly. There is Darryl waiting at the bottom of the escalator to baggage claim, as he should be. Oh, he thinks he is funny. A real card. Today his little chauffeur sign reads Barbara Mackle, which is a private joke between them that she is sick of sharing. Barbara Jane Mackle, as she was better known in 1968, is today almost totally forgotten, but was once a 20-year-old Miami heiress who had been kidnapped for ransom and buried in a box for 3 days before being dug up and rescued. For some reason, this true crime story delights Darryl, so she lets him blather on about it whenever they have to make small talk. Today will be the last day she'll have to hear this crap. She'd like to bury his penis in a box and let us smother to death. Marcia nods to him as one does when you find your driver, and he immediately takes her fake carry-on luggage and pulls it along smoothly to carousel number 2, where Delta Flight's bags are usually delivered. Carousel. Who thought up that misleading term? It's not some amusement park ride, Marcia thinks angrily, as she sees some idiot child sitting right on the rim of the luggage circulator while his parents totally ignore his blatant disregard of safety. Can't they read the sign right in front of them? Do not sit or play on baggage claim machinery, it says in plain English. God, she abhors children. What a curse on all women. She only has one, thank God, but what a freakazoid loser she is. Just the sight of this arrogant little brat gives Marcia flashbacks to childbirth. What a disgraceful experience it was for her. Every day since, she has tried to be a bad mother to her daughter, but that revenge has still never been enough. The child, now a woman, somehow lives content with her own flaws, no matter how often Marcia points them out. But now is not the time for regrets. She's got luggage to steal. All she can do is fantasize about this little bastard in front of her getting his pants caught in the rubber slats and being dragged around by the rollers in the conveyor belt, howling his apologies. That'd teach him. Marcia hates it when she has to wait for luggage. She must have misjudged the 20-minute promised delivery time because here she is with at least 10 other passengers and still no bags. This is the most dangerous window of time, when families greeting their arriving loved ones take cell phone pictures that can later be used against her. Finally, she hears those lazy baggage handlers pull up to the loading area. Nobody's really looking at her except for that fucking kid. He's not playing on the carousel anymore. No, he's just staring at her. Little Timmy is tired, cranky. He has been wedged in the middle coach seat for the last 4 hours, and he is hungry, too. No snack for him because he's allergic to peanuts. He hated that lady flight attendant, the one who stopped him from sneaking into the business class lavatory and made him go all the way back down that long aisle filled with dumb adults who now knew he had wiping issues. His little underpants were riding up his butt, and no matter how much he tried to wiggle them down by fidgeting, they remained stuck up there, causing a rash he knew would eventually spread. Look at that rich bitch with a chauffeur, Timmy thinks, as he sees the first baggage with a priority label go past him. Just because she's got money, why should she get special treatment? She's obviously too dumb to drive. Why else would she have a chauffeur? Maybe if he stares at her long enough, she'll die. What the hell is that brat looking at? Marcia angrily seethes inside. Aren't all children cursed invaders, hell-bent on ripping open your genitalia the way her daughter did? Babies are satanic, all of them. Baby Jessica in the well, the Lindbergh baby, even baby Jesus himself. And now this grown-up baby moron in front of her. Suddenly, the carousel is filled with coach luggage, some bags sliding down over others so you can't even see the tags. Marcia knows what kind of suitcases to pick. Large black ones without any identifying ribbons or personal markers that overly paranoid travelers sometimes place on their checked bags. There's one. She points to it and Daryl obediently picks it off the conveyor belt. Little Timmy sees Daryl's hard-on through the material of his uniform, and his hatred of all grown-ups soars to a new level of childhood fury. Suppose his own parents saw it. Suddenly he worries this bad man might be able to see his own little pee-pee. It wasn't hard now, but sometimes it got that way in the morning and it scared him. Did that make him like this man? Dirty for life? He ought to punch that man's Peter right in the mouth. That'd show him. Christ, what's that kid looking at? Daryl thinks in alarm. Take a picture, it'll last longer, he wants to yell. But what the fuck? Who cares about a Fruit Loop kid when you're concentrating on not busting a nut? The carnal knowledge of Marcia, that's what he has to focus on. He's got it all planned out. It will be soon. He's waited a year. He can hold off for another 20 minutes. They'll exit the airport unnoticed as always with their freshly stolen luggage and glide right over to the Hilton, located just 1.4 miles away. And then you know what? Pay dirt. Who cares who gets the Hilton guest points? She can have them for all he cares. Just as Daryl begins to wheel away the freshly stolen bag, with Marcia dutifully following him, a man rushes over and taps her on the shoulder. Excuse me, he says with some agitation. That's my suitcase you have there. Oh, you're kidding, Marcia sputters, ever the actress. I'm so sorry. They all look alike. You could have checked the claim tag, he argues back weakly, relieved that his missing luggage has at least been located. Yeah, right, Marcia thinks. Who checks the baggage tags? They don't even bother to have a security guard outside each baggage claim area matching the bags to your boarding pass sticker the way they did in the old days. Why, she wonders. Surely she is not the only suitcase thief working in airports. Oh, I'm really sorry, sir, Marcia stammers with faux embarrassment. It was really my fault, Darrell adds as he hands over the luggage to its rightful owner. I'm the one who should have checked the tags. It's not your mistake, Marcia argues with noblesse oblige. I'm the one who pointed to it. Turning to the easily fooled victim, Marcia continues the scam. What an idiot I am, sir. I'm so happy you were alert and notified us about the mix-up. Imagine if I had taken it home. Yeah, just imagine. The contents would have been looted, then fenced, and the other personal items they couldn't use or sell would lie discarded in Squatter McMansion bedrooms unclaimed forever. Timmy, stop it, his father barks when he sees his son digging his fingers into his butt and staring at the lady with the chauffeur. That's disgusting, adds his mother as she swats his hand away from the seat of his pants. I can't help it, it itches, he whines, relieved that his little tinkler hasn't hardened like the dirty man who's picking up another suitcase that rich witch pointed to. Doesn't she notice that filthy bone in his pants? It's practically a third leg, for God's sake. Excuse me, the fellow Las Vegas passenger announces to Marcia with exaggerated politeness. That's my bag you just picked up? Darrell jumps to the rescue again. I'm so sorry, ma'am. All these bags look alike, he pleads. I have this exact same suitcase, Marcia stammers in believable astonishment. By now, all the Las Vegas passengers are down at luggage claim, and Darrell should know better, but he grabs another one off the conveyor belt, and Marcia looks back at him in fury. I see you, little Timmy yells at the top of his lungs, and the still-waiting baggage claimers look up from the carousel and turn to him in confusion. They're stealing luggage, he bellows like the kiddie Crime Stopper hero he is in his mind. Hey, mister, hands off my bag, a pissed-off air passenger yells as he charges over to Darrell menacingly. It's all a mix-up, Darrell tries to reason. Her suitcase is the same size, same color. But because of little Timmy, the passengers are beginning to see the true picture. Maybe he could go on America's Most Wanted and tell his story. It's still on, right? Is there a reward? Mayday, mayday, Marcia thinks. She was going to ditch Darrell in the garage where she had that other car parked, but now all plans are off. The crowd is turning on them. They're caught. Darrell looks to her in panic. He can't really run with a full heart on, and any sudden movement would be dangerous. He's close. Oh, so close. He concentrates on the most unerotic thoughts imaginable. Jail food, HIV testing, square dancing, dead movie star vulvas, anything to keep from coming. Suddenly, little Timmy runs from the crowd and punches Darrell in his crotch. That's right, as hard as he can, right in the boner, and then he has the nerve to jump back and laugh. No, no, this can't be, Darrell thinks as he feels his penis begin to explode involuntarily. No squeezing of his prostate can stop it. Suddenly, like a geyser from hell, his prick begins to shoot out a giant load of pent-up semen. A year's worth of cum right here in his pants, just minutes away from launch time at the Hilton Hotel. He staggers backwards, flailing, convulsing, ejaculating, in double, triple, quadruple orgasm, in full view of the approaching security guards and the rubbernecking crowd. He can't help but bellow out moans of animal pleasure that now Marcia will never be able to hear. She's gone? Where is that wench? She can't leave him now. Not on their day of intercourse. The crowd is backing away in full repulsion. The charging TSA cops are stopped in their tracks as they see the gooey white liquid pooling down into Darrell's shoes and spilling over onto the airport floor. A lady in a wheelchair vomits. So does her attendant. On her. Little Timmy's parents try to cover his PG-13 eyes, but he pulls their hands away. He wants to see this discharge of filth. This is what adults do, in secret, at night, right in their own homes while little children are sleeping. Darrell realizes through the last spasms of overdue ejaculation that now is his only time to flee. That scat rat of a kid is making weird laughing hyena noises as his appalled parents try to silence him. The crowd is backing away, unsure of which way to run. Marcia has seemingly vanished into thin air. It's now or never. His crusted pants are cold, clinging, and sticky, yet he makes a break for it. What else can a man do when he's just shot a year's load in public at the airport?